shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is the truth that we can follow and we can apply in our lives. Lord, and now I pray that you will give us a love and a burning desire for your word. God, let it change our lives for the better. Lord, use it and help us to meditate on it. Lord, use your word tonight and use me as your vessel to preach your word. God, I pray that we will treasure your word that you've given us and not just lay it aside, but we will take heed to your word, that we will hide it in our hearts and share it with others. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of 2 Peter is obviously written by Peter, the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. And when you think of Peter, automatically many thoughts flood into your mind about him. You think of the outspoken leader outside of Jesus, of the disciples. You may think of the only man to walk on water besides Jesus Christ. You may think of the rather proud disciple who always made it a point to let people know that he wanted to be first, or he made it a point to be recognized, or things like that. And you may also think of the disciple that betrayed, that denied Jesus three times before that crucifixion that night. But here when we come to the book of 2 Peter, we have a different Peter. Not an entirely different person physically, but a different, mature, more knowledgeable Peter. He still had his bluntness and his personality, but this Peter was mature and older, a wiser Peter. This book was written after Christ has risen from the grave and after he had ascended back up into heaven. But before Christ ascended back up into heaven, Christ left Peter with some important information. He let Peter know that he would become a martyr. He would die for the cause of Christ. And with this in mind, Peter has now gone through the Pentecost. He's been spreading the gospel. He's been in and out of jail a few times. And he knows the end is near. And the book of 2 Peter is a book about remembering. And in 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter draws our attention to remember two important truths to live a successful Christian life. Go ahead and read again in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." The first truth to remember: remember that life is short. Number one, remember life is short. Peter knew he would become a martyr, and he welcomed it almost joyfully with open arms. Peter was set to be crucified, and tradition says Peter was unwilling and thought himself unworthy to die the same way Christ did. So he requested that he be crucified upside down. The fact is, life is short. And with that truth comes assumed questions that automatically come along with knowing life is short. What impact do you have with your life? You may say, yeah, life is short, so live it up. Live life to its fullest. Do what you can while you can. And to a point, I would agree with you. And others may say, since life is short, it doesn't matter what you do. You're only one person. You can't make much of a difference, so it doesn't really matter what you do. And I would disagree with you there. Every single person in this auditorium, every single person on this world, in this world, will have an impact on eternity. They will. Every person has an impact on this world, and that impact is going to be either good or for bad. Along with the first truth comes the two questions. The first one is this: are you endeavoring to impact others' lives for the cause of Christ? Are you endeavoring to impact others' lives for the cause of Christ? Read in verse number 15 with me. Peter says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Your impact on this world and this generation goes beyond your life here on earth. Peter endeavored to impact the lives to the point that he still had an effect on them after he had died. And it is your choice if that impact is going to be for good or for bad. Parents, when was the last time you sat down with your child and talked with them about life and influenced them to live a godly and a pure life? But then it goes beyond just everyday conversation. How are you living your life and presenting yourself before them and others of how to act? Are you being a good role model for them? Children, how are you influencing your siblings? Are you being a good role model for them? Is it with bickering and fighting? Is it with jealous competition and strife and conflict? When was the last time, older sister, older brother, was the last time you taught your younger brother or your younger sister something you learned from Scripture? When was the last time you hugged them and told them you loved them and prayed with them? Are you endeavoring to impact others' lives for the cause of Christ? We live in a day and age where technology is taking place of time that should be spent together. There are times when I'm at school, when I'm in my dorm room, and I'll text Joseph when he lives two doors down the hall from me. There's times when we're eating dinner at the cafeteria there, and people on their Twitter and they're twitting or tweeting, whatever it's called, tic-tac-toeing each other, and they're sitting at the same table. Don't miss a single second, a single moment that you could spend time with your family and endeavor to impact them, to show them Christ, to teach them. Nothing against technology, but teens, parents, children, don't miss a moment you can with them to be able to teach them what you've learned from God's Word. My dad's going to be going to the Philippines kind of for good this coming summer, and it's just now been hitting me. I'm like, man, my dad's really going to be going to the Philippines. I don't want to get to the point where my family, my friends are already gone before I decide that I should have spent time with them. We shouldn't have to go through that. Life is short. Are you endeavoring to impact others' lives for the cause of Christ? Parent, you don't know what that short time eating a meal with your children can do. I remember, just all the memories from eating dinner with my family comes along with a lot of laughter, but there's also a lot of serious talks during that short time you're just eating a meal together. Children, you don't know what short time spending time with your parents can do for you. Right now, you guys want to be with your friends, you guys want to have fun, you want to do something exciting, but you will know and you'll understand down the road the wisdom your parents try to give to you, the heartache they had for you, the prayers they say to God for you will all come into play down the road. And us, me included, we need to listen to them. So put down the Xbox controller for a while, turn off the TV for a couple hours, tell your friends you can't make it tomorrow night, and spend time with your family. Just sit down and talk with them. Life is short. Are you endeavoring to impact others' lives for the cause of Christ? the second question. Are you determined to make known the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's read verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When was the last time you went soul winning? This Christmas was by far the best Christmas I've had since I was probably 7 or 8, when my dad bought me a bike, and it had like this plastic frame over it to make it look like a dirt bike, and it had this speaker on it. When you press the button, it'd sound like you're revving your engine and everything like that. Maybe it was my birthday, I can't remember, but this Christmas was by far the best Christmas I've had. For Christmas, our family, we usually meet up with my dad's side of the family, since they're here in California, and we go to one of their houses, and we eat, we talk, we spend time there. And then at midnight on Christmas Day, we open presents. And this Christmas was a little different, because one of my aunts, her husband is a Jehovah's Witness, and they usually don't, well, yeah, they don't spend Christmas with us because of their religion and their beliefs and things like that. But this year, they invited us, the whole family, to come celebrate Christmas at their house. And that in itself was a miracle in itself, because just knowing the way they are, it was a blessing in itself. And this Christmas, you have to understand something about my dad's side of the family. My dad and one of his sisters are the only ones saved. My aunt, she just got saved maybe a couple of years ago. The rest of them, they're either Catholic or they're just not religious at all. And every time before Christmas, I would always tell myself, man, I gotta witness to my relatives. I gotta witness to my relatives. Maybe you've said the same thing. And then Christmas comes along, and then it goes by, and we chicken out of sharing the gospel with them. And then we say, oh, maybe next year. Well, this year, it wasn't one of those years, praise the Lord. My dad went ahead and asked me to go ahead and share a short devotional about the Christmas story. And all of a sudden, when he asked me, all these thoughts start flooding into mind. I'm like, wow, what an opportunity. And then the next second, I'm like, oh, wait, what if they don't listen? Wait, we're going to Uncle Dale's house. What if he, you know, stops me from talking or something? He's a Jehovah's Witness. We're going to start arguing. Everyone's going to choose sides. We're going to get in a big fight. Christmas is going to be ruined. We're never going to have Christmas again. All these thoughts coming into my mind. And then finally, after a lot of prayer, God gave me peace and comfort to confidently tell the Christmas story and give the gospel message to my family. And don't get me wrong, I was really nervous. My hands were sweating when it was freezing outside. My heart was racing, but by God's grace, 9 of my relatives got saved on Christmas Eve. And there is nothing more rewarding than that. Nothing is more rewarding than leading someone to the Lord. I still get a thrill when I witness someone getting saved, and when they're your own family members, man, that's just a cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. Life is short. Are you determined to make known the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, you and I are the living products of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Make an impact for good. And remember, life is short. Life is short. Peter also called us to remember one more thing here in chapter number 1. And you see, Peter, he had a lot to boast about. He was here an eyewitness to Jesus Christ. We often think about what it would be like to walk with Jesus, what it'd be to be one of his disciples, to hear his words, to witness his miracles in person. What an experience that would be, we sometimes think. And to see him heal the lame, to see, make him the mute to talk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, to heal the sick or even raise the dead, to see his majesty as he calmed the sea, as he walked on water. What an experience that would be. And in verse 17 and 18, Peter calls to remembrance the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read with me. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This was the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And if you could turn to Matthew chapter number 17, we're just going to get a couple more details of what went on during that time. It was the latter part of Jesus Christ's ministry before he was going to get crucified. And here they climb up into a mount, Jesus with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, often referred to as the inner circle. And we're gonna get a couple more details about what exactly happened there. Matthew chapter 17, start on verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Man, what an event. What an experience it would have been to be there in Peter's shoes, to see the Son of God transfigured before your very eyes, to see the brightness of the sun upon Christ's face, to see his raiment so white, bleach would stain it. Peter said the obvious, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And then while he's still talking, something else super bright comes, and a cloud overshadows him, and then a voice says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father himself speaking of his Son. And the voice resonates and maybe shakes the mountain and shakes fear into the disciples. And in fear, they fall to their faces because they know it was God Almighty speaking from the cloud. What an experience to see Christ transfigured and to hear the voice of God. You've got to think, Peter, his hands are sweaty. Fear has crippled him. His heart's pounding out of his chest. And then the comfort of Christ's voice. Arise. Be not afraid. Man, what an experience. Then Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone until I've risen from the dead. What? Can you imagine Peter's expression on his face? What? I just had the experience of a lifetime and you want me to keep my mouth shut? I'm Peter. I'm the boastful one. I'm the loud mouth. I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't tell anyone until you've risen from the dead. Man, you got to be kidding me. And then we make our way back to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Christ has risen already. And then Peter's here. He says, oh, now's my chance to tell this amazing experience of hearing God in person, of seeing with my own eyes a transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 19 of 2 Peter chapter number 1, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The second truth to remember: God's word is more sure. God's word is more sure. Here's what Peter is saying in plain English. The Bible, God's word is more certain than any experience could offer. Peter says, yeah, I experienced God. I physically saw Jesus Christ transfigured. I saw the bright cloud. I felt the presence of God. I heard his voice. And I was scared to death. He fell on his face. But this is what Peter says. We have a more sure word of prophecy than all those experiences that I had. We have something more certain and more concrete than sound waves vibrating the eardrums in your head. We have something more sure than light entering into our pupil and projecting on our cornea and placing an image in our brain. We have the physical, concrete written word of God that we can hold in our hands. And you see, you can put two people in the same exact place. You can put them there at the same exact time, make the same exact things happen, and the two people will have two entirely different views, two different perspectives and thoughts about what happened. But when you have something written down, there's no denying what it says. And that's what the Bible is. We have the written word of God. And when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," that means it says just what it says, "For God so loved the world." And ladies and gentlemen, we have a more sure word of prophecy than human experience. Everything God wants you to know, wants me to know, is written here in this book, the Holy Bible, God's word. And quite frankly, you and I don't spend enough time in it. It doesn't spend enough time inside of our hearts. If God places so much significance on his word, then you and I should place and revere and place that much significance on his word as well. Sadly, the majority of our Bibles spend time on our desk at home, on our countertop inside our car, closed and collecting dust, instead of being open with our minds and heart open to it. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away," said Jesus Christ. "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever," Isaiah 48. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. We have the living, life-changing word of God, and it is more sure. And since God's word is more sure, that immediately brings us to two procedures we must follow in order to live a successful Christian life. First procedure, take heed to God's word. Take heed to God's word. Verse number 19. First part of verse number 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." Just like Peter said the obvious, when he saw Christ transfigured, he said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." The Bible states the obvious for us here in the first part of verse number 19. "Ye do well that ye take heed." God's word does not contain just good ideas. The author of God's word is not man. God's word does not just contain truth. God's word is the truth. God is the author of the timeless truths and principles presented in his word, and ye do well to take heed. Ye do well to take heed. The Bible is filled with principles of how to live a godly, pure life. It is filled with doctrine that you and I must follow and teach to others. You may say doctrine divides. And I say, exactly. Divides from right and wrong. And I don't know about you, but I want to be right. Ye do well that ye take heed to God's word. But taking heed to God's word is not enough in itself. The first procedure, take heed to God's word. Second procedure, let God's word change and shape you. Let's read verse 19 again all the way through. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Here in verse number 19, Peter compares the word of God to a light, as a light that shineth in a dark place. When you're walking outside at night with no lights, you walk around with caution because you can't see anything. You don't know where you're walking. But when you turn on a flashlight, all of a sudden, you can see where you're going. Now you can see the path that you should be walking on. You can see things you didn't see before. And that's what the Bible is to us, a light to guide our lives. And we must let God's word change and shape us. The Bible says, "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We must apply the Word of God to our lives daily. Meditate on God's Word. Take heed and let God's Word change and shape you. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. James 1:22-25, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible shows you what you need to change, and it's our job to let the Bible change and shape us. Get in the book, and let the book get in you. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and prove to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. To live a successful Christian life, we must remember life is short, and remember the Bible is more sure. May the Lord help us to bring us back to the book. Let's pray.